For the past few weeks, the United States and the Soviet Union have been expelling each other's diplomats almost on a daily basis. Today, the U.S. called a truce. NPR's Jim Engel reports.
The United States called a halt today to a week-long retaliatory exchange with the Soviet Union, leaving both sides searching for ways to deal with new restrictions on their respective diplomatic missions. The tit-for-tat retaliations ended abruptly as the State Department announced that it would match some minor restrictions by the Soviets on the number of visas given for temporary personnel. But the administration did not expel any more Soviet diplomats, even though the Soviets, in their last retaliation yesterday, ordered the expulsion of five more Americans. State Department's spokesman Charles Redmond made clear that as far as the U.S. is concerned, the matter is over.
This is our response. We hope that this set of issues can now be put behind us.
Redmond emphasized the most positive aspects of the retaliations and then sought to shift the focus of U.S.-Soviet relations to more productive matters.
There seems to be common ground in the mutual acknowledgement of parity and reciprocity as the foundation of our diplomatic relationship. We need now to get on with resolution of the larger issues affecting U.S.-Soviet relations and build on the progress made in the discussions at Reykjavik.
The common ground on reciprocity went a good bit further than the U.S. hoped. The administration, responding to an expulsion of five Americans last Sunday, ordered out an equal number of Soviet diplomats on Tuesday. And at the same time, the U.S. said it was permanently reducing the size of the staff at the Soviet embassy and consulate in the U.S. to equal the number of Americans now stationed in the Soviet Union. And the administration expelled 50 Soviet diplomats to get the Soviet Union down to that level immediately. American officials said all 55 Soviets expelled this week were spies, the same allegation the U.S. made against the 25 Soviets it expelled from their U.N. mission in September. The Soviets retaliated yesterday in a way that left the U.S. no corresponding action to take. They withdrew all the Soviet citizens working for the U.S. embassy in Moscow and the consulate in Leningrad, a total, the Soviets said, of 260. Those people are the maids, cooks, drivers, mechanics, and translators for the embassy staff in the Soviet Union. The Soviets, by contrast, rely almost exclusively on Soviet citizens assigned to the U.S. for the same kind of work. State Department spokesman Redmond acknowledged the Soviet action will make things more difficult for our diplomats in the Soviet Union.
We expect that there will have to be some fairly substantial changes in our staffing patterns, as we need personnel to take up the task previously performed by others. There will undoubtedly be some short-term adjustment problems, and over the long term, we will have a different look in Moscow.
The administration wanted to force a different look on the Soviet presence in the United States as well. Officials yesterday said the U.S. expulsions had decapitated Soviet intelligence in the United States. Said one official, it was a crushing blow that eliminated the top leadership of Soviet intelligence here and means the end of an era for Soviet intelligence in the United States. Officials said reduction in Soviet diplomatic staff would also reduce the overall Soviet intelligence presence in the United States, and they said it would create dissension between the Soviet diplomatic ranks and the intelligence services as they compete for a shrinking number of positions in the U.S. But the Soviets showed yesterday they could force some equally difficult choices on the Americans. The administration must now decide, for instance, whether it must displace some diplomats or intelligence officers in order to make room for maids and mechanics, jobs that were previously held by Soviets. Now they must be done by Americans who count toward the overall total of official Americans permitted to serve in the USSR. Charles Redmond conceded that will have some impact on the U.S. ability to keep track of things there.
Without question, there's going to be some change in our ability to monitor what happens in the Soviet Union. This is something that we foresaw as we went into this, and as a consequence, we're prepared to cope with it.
Other officials said yesterday the U.S. embassy in Moscow is now larger than it has ever been. Historically, said one official, the U.S. staff in the Soviet Union has been somewhere between 175 and 200. But for a number of reasons, officials said it had grown recently to 251. Sources denied that it was in anticipation of this week's events, but suggested it will make the adjustment a little easier. So as the dust settles, the Soviets are left with a substantially smaller presence in the United States, which administration officials say will make it a little easier to clamp down on Soviet intelligence activities. But the administration, which has placed great value on being firm, if not tough, with the Soviets, found this week that is a two-way street. U.S. officials concerned with monitoring and combating Soviet intelligence activities think the trade-off of more difficult conditions for American diplomats in exchange for a more hostile environment for Soviet intelligence here is worth it. But it remains to be seen if the Soviet retaliation will have an equal impact on the United States. I'm Jim Engel in Washington.